If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. As we continue in our series, Back to the Basics, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Paul writes, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word, and we just thank you for the truth of your word, that you are the same and that you do not change. And I pray that you would just show us, Lord, how we need to be clinging to that, especially in these last days. Pray to come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray to open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. The picture you see on the screen, believe it or not, is the Sunday school material that's being used right now by the church in Iceland to teach little kids about Jesus Christ. And you see Jesus there all queered up with rouge on his face. And wearing a skirt, Jesus in a 34C cup, dancing in the name of diversity. Because you remember that story in the Gospels when Jesus put on a woman's dress and danced and dragged for King Herod? Yeah, neither do I, because it never happened. Folks, you talk about heresy. You talk about forgetting the basics of Jesus Christ. But the text we have in front of us this morning reminds us of what those basics really are. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Back to the Basics, to looking at all kinds of basic fundamental truth from God's Word so that we can get back to the Lord in these last days before it's too late. So far in this series, we've gotten back to the basics about God and the Bible. And today we get back to the basics about Jesus. And to see that, we turn today to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. In this part of Hebrews chapter 13, the Apostle Paul is giving us all kinds of basic facts about the Christian faith. And in our text today, Paul tells us the basic fact that Jesus Christ has never changed and never will. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today that if Jesus Christ is never changing, we can hang on to that promise as well, that he will never change and see us through. Our text this morning, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, tells us three basic facts about Jesus Christ that never have changed and never will. And let's look and see what those three facts are. The first thing we see from this text, the first fact about Jesus that doesn't change, is that Jesus is God. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here in verse 8. Jesus is God, people. And in heaven right now, his eyes are like blazing fire. And the glory around his head is as white as snow. And his feet are like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice sounds like Niagara Falls. And he has a sharp two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. So he's not just your bro or your bud or your bestie or your homeboy. And if Jesus manifested and appeared in this church right now, right there on the rug, I guarantee you, you would not give him a fist bump or a bro hug. Revelation 1:17, you would fall at his feet as though dead. He's the King and Lord of all mankind, people. Jesus is God. And that's exactly what the Bible tells us. And we need to remember that because there's all kinds of crazy Jesuses out there today. There's black Jesus, even though the Bible tells us clearly that Jesus was a Jew. There's woke Jesus, who says your truth will set you free. And if a brother offends you, cancel him and call him a domestic terrorist. There's hipster Jesus. There's Jesus. A Cheeto that a kid pulled out of a bag of Cheetos in New Jersey. It looks like Jesus with his arms sticking out. There's even Biden Jesus. But that's not like Christ. That's more like Antichrist. The Bible tells us who Jesus really is. God the Son, second person of the Trinity, coexistent with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, that God dwells in unapproachable light. Because Exodus chapter 33, verse 20, no man can see God's face and live. Because Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, his face shines like the sun in all of its brilliance, 15 million degrees at the surface. So there's no way in the world that you and I could ever get to him. Back in 2018, NASA launched their Solar Parker Sun Probe to orbit and study the sun. And folks, after 5 years, even with all kinds of super high-tech heat shields, that probe has still never been able to get any closer to the sun than 16 million miles away. You think it's hot here? You try to look at the sun, you lose your eyes. You try to look at God, you lose your life. And because God knew we couldn't go to him, God came to us in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. So Jesus is God incarnate, God in the flesh, God in human form, in a form that we could survive and understand and relate to, because God loves us and wants to have a relationship with us. Last January, actor Ben Affleck put on a uniform and manned the drive-through window at Dunkin' Donuts in Medford, Massachusetts, and passed out all the food and the drink orders for free because he paid for it all. There's a big star looking like a common person doing all kinds of good things for people. Folks, 2,000 years ago, the biggest star of all, Jesus Christ, came to us looking like a common person doing all kinds of good things for people to show us who God is and what God is really all about. Jesus is God. The Bible said He was God. Jesus said He was God. The miracles He did prove that He was God. The prophecies that He fulfilled prove that He was God. Jesus is God. And if you don't believe that, you're not a Christian. But the problem is, the world today doesn't believe that. Young people, listen to me. You go to college, you're going to have atheist professors there who have absolutely dedicated their entire lives to destroying whatever shred of Christian faith you may have. And they're going to try to convince you of two things. Number one, Jesus Christ is not God. And number two, there's no God at all. And I know that because they did exactly the same thing to me when I went to college. And they know if you get Jesus wrong, you get everything else wrong too. And you're ripe for the picking, for evolution, and LGBTQ, and socialism. Katie, bar the door. So young people, listen. I don't care what you hear in college. You remember this crazy, dumpy old pastor that you had at Fox River Church growing up, who told you that Jesus is God. I don't care what your philosophy professor at the University of Illinois may tell you. Jesus is God. You don't give that up because it determines everything, even your very own soul. The problem is, even Christians today don't understand who Jesus really is, or that Jesus is God, or how He's God. Prosperity preacher Benny Hinn said this, "We're all just little gods running around here on earth, just a little God in the flesh." No, Jesus is God in the flesh. Pastor Bill Johnson, Bethel Church in California, said this, what he said is that Jesus Christ never healed anybody when He was down here on earth. That's the old kenosis therapy. Because the Bible tells us Jesus healed all kinds of people when He was down here. Stephen Furtick, Elevation Church, North Carolina, said this. Stephen Furtick said the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were just different forms of God. But Father, Son, and Holy Spirit aren't just different forms of God. They are three distinct persons of God. So when the person of Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, He sent the person of the Holy Spirit to come back down here to this earth and fill up the disciples. Jesus is God. Jesse Duplantis said this. Jesse Duplantis is trying to say that God, Jesus came to him and asked him to minister to him. And to tell him that He loved him. Listen, Jesus is God. He's God Almighty. God in the flesh. Jesus Christ is the great I Am. Jesus does not have a man-sized hole in His heart. And there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that Jesus Christ needs from us. Does anybody know who Jesus really is? Even in the church? Jesus is God. Next slide. And because Jesus is God, He never changes. Now, all kinds of celebrities today, as they get older, they start having all kinds of work done to try to stay hot looking and relevant. And you see all the before and after pictures. 34-year-old Zac Efron has some dermal filler put in his lips and his jaws and his cheeks. So he went from looking like that to looking like that. 59-year-old Tom Cruise had some steroid injections to make his cheeks look puffier. 39-year-old Khloe Kardashian had such a makeover, had so much work done. She doesn't even look like the same person from head to toe. 36-year-old actress Ellen Page not only had a total makeover, she had a gender reassignment surgery because she thinks that's going to make her a guy. Now look at the picture of Jesus. Here's a picture of Jesus in heaven before he came to earth 2,000 years ago. Now, there's a picture of Jesus in heaven 2,000 years later as he is today. See the differences? See the changes? No, you don't. Because there's no changes at all. Because Jesus never changes. And the only work Jesus had done was to have nail prints put in his hands and his feet. Jesus is God. And folks, do we see what's happened? Do we see what's happened to this country? Because too many Americans have forgotten that and rejected that. Even though the God of the Bible is the only real God there is, all the false gods in the Bible have real demon spirits behind them. Demon spirits that were kicked out of heaven along with Lucifer and have been harassing human beings down here on earth for thousands and thousands of years. And the Bible says those demon spirits can not only possess individual people, they can also possess whole countries. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 to 45, when you cast a demon spirit out of a person, if that person doesn't stay close to God, that demon's going to get a bunch of friends and come back and repossess that person even worse than before. And the same thing can happen to generations in a culture. And that's exactly what's happened to the United States of America right now. Because when America was founded on the God of the Bible and the gospel of Jesus Christ, all those old demon gods were exorcised out of this nation. But now that America's turning its back on God, all those old demon gods are coming back and repossessing this nation all over again. And how do we know that? Because we see those gods everywhere. Like Gaia, the Greek goddess of the planet, the queen of the climate change cult, who's being pushed today by everything from the United Nations to the Avatar movies to get people to worship Mother Earth instead of Father God. There's Baal, the king of the Canaanite gods, who turned the godly nation of Israel into a pagan nation because he's the destroyer who destroys people's relationships with the God of the Bible. And we see him at work now in things like wokeism and my truth, your truth, and virtual reality and greed. And the symbol for Baal is what? A bull. What kind of a statue did they place on Wall Street, New York City, back in 1980? A bull. So it's not a bull market, it's a Baal market. The Commonwealth Games in Birmingham, England last year, presided over by King Charles III. What was the star attraction? A huge fire-breathing iron bull that people worshipped and danced around. That's the spirit of Baal. Partial temples to Baal have already been built in New York City and Washington, D.C. over the last 2 years. Baal is back, baby. Don't tell me we don't see his influence. But even worse is Baal's so-called wife, Asherah, who was worshipped with temple prostitutes and was all about sexual perversion. Asherah was Ishtar to the Babylonians and Aphrodite to the Greeks, and they filled every culture that worshipped them with pornographic statues and drawings. And Aphrodite was supposedly trans, with breasts like a woman and a penis like a man. Aphrodite was the goddess of androgyny, who can make men look like women and make women look like men and destroy all sexual differences between guys and girls. And all Aphrodite's priests were men who dressed like women, and many of them were even surgically mutilated so they could even look more female. And here's the kicker. What month of the year was Aphrodite celebrated in? What month of the year was it said that she was especially supposed to be able to take over the hearts and minds and possess an entire country? That would be the month of Junium or June. So June was Pride Month in the ancient world too. It's like that now because it was like that back then. And what was the symbol that Aphrodite always used as a sign that she had taken over and possessed an entire generation, an entire nation? That would be a rainbow. Rainbow. Pride Month. Rainbows all over the place. In the month of June. People, don't tell me there's not a demon spirit of Aphrodite running loose in this country. And what's even worse? Aphrodite's high holy day on the calendar was the 10th day of the month of Tammuz, when it was said she could cast a spell over an entire country and get people to believe that a man could marry a man and a woman could marry a woman. And the 10th day of the month of Tammuz translates to what day on our calendar? That would be June the 26th, 2003, when the Supreme Court struck down anti-sodomy laws in Texas. What was the day? June 26th, 2003, 10th day of the month of Tammuz. 2013, when the U.S. Supreme Court declared the Defense of Marriage Act unconstitutional. What day of the month was that? What day of the year? June the 26th, 2013, 10th day of the month of Tammuz. 2015, when the United States Supreme Court made gay marriage legal across the entire country. What day was that? June the 26th, 2015, 10th day of the month of Tammuz, and President Barack Obama lit up the White House with the colors of the rainbow. You don't think those old demon gods are back in town and controlling and running everything and having a field day in America right now? And the only way to get rid of them, the only way that we can get rid of them is by turning this nation back to Jesus Christ. Because we know already ahead of time what's going to happen to those demon gods. Psalm chapter 82 verses 6 and 7. Even though they are gods, they will die like men and fall like all the other princes. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verses 5 and 6. Even though there may be a many gods, for us there is but one God, the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we exist and through whom all things come. Jesus wins, people, because our God is God. The first fact about Jesus that never changes, Jesus is God. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. Another fact about Jesus that doesn't change. Not only Jesus is God, but Jesus is the Savior. And that's also what Paul is telling us here in verse 8. Because Jesus is all about salvation. You even see it in His name. Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Hebrew name Joshua, that literally means God saves. And then what about Christ? Is that His nickname? Like Stinky or Bobo? Is that a hashtag? Is that Jesus' last name because His parents were Mary and Joseph Christ from Bethlehem? No. Christ is the English pronunciation of the Greek word Christos. That translates the Hebrew word Messiah. That means anointed one. So God saves us through the Messiah that He planned all along to do the saving, Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 4, verse 14, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Savior of the world. And what is it that Jesus has to save us from? Sin. And I realize that's a right-wing, radical, Bible-thumping, holy terror monstrosity concept, but it's real. The picture you see on the screen is me when I was 2 years old. And I was a really cute kid. So what happened between then and now? I got no idea. But as cute as I was, there was something deadly seriously wrong with me there. Because I had a sinful nature that I got from my mom and dad. And because of that, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3, I was by nature an object of the wrath of God. Just because of the way I was born. Not even talking about all the sins I committed from that day unto this day. Just because of the fact that I was born a sinner. I was an object of the wrath of God, deserving of nothing but hell. And so are all of you. Because our sin separates us from holy God and causes us to deserve punishment from God. And if something isn't done about that sin will separate us for eternity from God in a place called hell. But the good news is 2,000 years ago, God loved us so much in spite of our sin. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, down here to this earth who had no sin so He could take our sin on Himself. And Jesus died on that cross to pay the price for our sin and rose from the dead for our justification, Romans chapter 4, verse 25. So today, if you confess your sin to God and put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on that cross as the only thing that can take your sin away and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior, your sins will be forgiven and you will be saved. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Because that is the only thing that can take away your sin before God. Nothing else. You say, well, Kevin, I believe in God. So what? Even the devil believes in God. You think the devil's saved and forgiven? Going to church don't do it. Going to Taco Bell don't make you a taco. Going to church don't make you a Christian. Well, Kevin, I was baptized. So what? So was Charles Manson. Just because you're under the water doesn't mean you're under the blood. He said, well, Kevin, there's other religions, there's other gods. There's other paths up the mountain. Yeah, but you're not trying to climb a mountain. You're trying to get to heaven. And Jesus said, John chapter 14, verse 6, there's only one way to get there. Jesus said, no man gets to heaven. No man goes to the Father except through me. You've got to do business with Jesus Christ. Well, Kevin, God's just going to have to accept me just like I am. Tell you what. You stand before God on judgment day, you tell Him that, and we'll see what He says. The problem is the way that we are born the first time in the flesh, separated from God, born in sin is not good enough. We've got to be born again. We've got to be born a second time, born spiritually, by confessing your sin to God and trusting Christ as your Savior. 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ came into the world to save sinners. He's the only Savior there is. But the problem is the Laodicean church today is lying and telling people there's no sin. They even need to be saved from it all, especially with LGBTQ. You see that sign everywhere today. Jesus had two dads and he turned out just fine. Is that supposed to be funny? Yeah, Jesus had two dads, God and Joseph, a heavenly father and an earthly father. But neither one of them were gay. Jesus did not have gay parents. So where's that sign really going? You see that sign on apostate churches all over America right now. God is trans. God is non-binary. And his pronouns are they, them. Listen. Every single person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is so mind-blowingly holy, this very night, they could take your very breath away for claiming that about him. Because not one single time anywhere in the Bible, Old Testament or New Testament, anywhere, does the Father, Son, or Holy Spirit ever refer to themselves as they, them. Now, in Genesis, God says we and us, referring to all three persons of the Trinity. But not one single time do any of them use they, them. They always use masculine singular pronouns. Absolutely amazing. People who are so anal about their preferred pronouns will use whatever the heck kind of pronouns they want to refer to God when God tells us very clearly in the Bible what his pronouns are. God's not transgender, people. So quit trying to use God to justify some delusional sense of identity. It gets even worse. Last March during Lent, during a chapel service, Cambridge University in England, a theological student showed those exact same two pictures you see there on the screen about the wound that Jesus had on his side when he was on the cross, that wound that came from the Roman spear. And that theology student said, because that wound looks like a woman's vagina and because the blood from that wound is flowing down to Jesus' groin, that means that Jesus was transgender. People, that's how sick this has gotten. They are sexualizing the cross of Jesus Christ. The wounds that Jesus suffered to forgive people's sins, now they're trying to use them to justify people's sins. You talk about blasphemy. Two Sundays ago, Edina Community Lutheran Church, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Pastor Rachel Stokes stood up in front of the congregation and got them to do this. I don't know why we don't have audio. She's reading what's called the Sparkle Creed. That's talking about God the Father and God the Son being non-binary. And how Jesus was the child of both of them and gay relationships and gay parents. Heretics in Halloween costumes teaching doctrines of demons. And you know what's even worse? Don't the people in churches like that have feet? Can't they get up and walk out when that kind of claptrap is going on? You know why they don't? Because they're drunk on the rainbow Kool-Aid too. Where's the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit? Where's the conviction? Where's the repentance and the weeping over sin? Where's the obedience to God's word? Where's the reverence for the presence of God? I'll tell you where it's gone. It's all down the gender-neutral toilet. Ichabod, for the glory of God has departed. And they're too stupid woke to even see it or to even care about it. Jesus is the only Savior from sin. And just to remind us how incredible that salvation really is, Jesus saved us from sin in order to save us from that. For the last 6 weeks, the Mount Kilauea volcano has been erupting in Hawaii on the Big Island, spewing out all kinds of lava and fire and flame and gas and smoke all over the place. People, look at that. Because that is exactly what the Bible says it's going to be like for people who reject Jesus Christ. Video. You reject the payment that Jesus Christ made for your sin. Video. You're going to have to spend eternity paying for that sin, separated from God, paying for that sin yourself. And because we human beings can never really pay for our own sin, you will be paying for that sin for eternity in that place called hell. Anyone whose name was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was thrown into the lake of fire, where there's fire and darkness and gnashing of teeth. And the smoke of their torment rises day and night forever and ever and ever. You go to hell, you never get out. You say, Kevin, are you trying to scare me? I will do absolutely anything I possibly can to keep you from going to that place. Amen. So listen to me. Don't you dare put yourself in a situation where you can't be saved like they did. Next slide. Last Sunday, June the 18th, a tourist company for rich people called Ocean Gate released a little 22-foot sub, five-passenger sub called the Titan, for a 10-hour tour of the wreck of the Titanic on the bottom of the North Atlantic Ocean. But just 1 hour and 47 minutes into the two-hour descent at about 9,000 feet, the support ship on the surface lost contact with that little sub because it stopped sending signals. And that little sub only had 4 days' worth of oxygen for the people on board. So massive amounts of ships from four different countries raced to the scene and started this huge rescue operation to try to figure out what in the world happened to the Titan. And everybody and their brother wondered, why didn't the U.S. Navy just go down there and get them? Well, because the U.S. Navy has no need to go that far below the water. They don't have anything that can go that far below the water. And even if they could, they just couldn't pull up to that sub and pull those people out of there. Because at that depth, 9,000, 10, 13,000 feet, it's like the Empire State Building standing on top of you. And that little submersible was experimental because it had never been regulated or certified for anybody, by anybody. And it wasn't made out of iron like submarines. It was made out of carbon filament that erodes in salt water. And they were using a $50 Sony PlayStation controller to move that thing around. And it had sensors on it that were supposed to warn the people if there was a pressure leak. And seven backup systems that were supposed to return that little sub to the surface if something went wrong. And they all failed. Because last June the 22nd, the Canadian Navy found five pieces of that Titan along with human remains at the bottom of the ocean, 1,600 feet from the bow of the Titanic. And experts said that little sub had catastrophically imploded because of the pressure, instantaneously killing everybody on board before they even knew what happened to them. And they all knew the risk because the waiver that they had to sign before they went on that trip mentioned the word death three times on the first page alone. They put themselves in a situation where they could not be saved if something went wrong. And of the five passengers on the Titan, one of them was the CEO of Ocean Gate. Two more were a father and son, and two others were adventurers. One of them had done everything from flying into space with Elon Musk to skiing to the South Pole. And the other was an oceanographer who'd been down to the Titanic 35 times before. And they were all rich, and they had to be because the tickets were $250,000 apiece. And the sad thing is, all their skills, all their know-how, all the billions of dollars they had, and absolutely none of it could do a blessed thing to save them. They put themselves in a situation where they couldn't be saved if something went wrong. And people, you can't do the same thing either. The Bible tells us that there is not one place in the entire universe where Jesus Christ is not. Psalm 139 says, you go up to the highest parts of the heaven, you go down to the lowest parts of the ocean, and Jesus Christ is there. There is not one single place anywhere in the entire whole wide universe where Jesus is not, except in the hearts of people who don't want anything to do with it. That's how you put yourself in a situation where you can't be saved, by rejecting Jesus Christ. Because He's the only thing that can save you. So listen to me, if you're trusting in anything else today, I don't care what it is. It's going to fail, and all your backups are going to fail, because Acts chapter 4, verse 12, salvation is found in no one else but Jesus Christ. Amen. And why? Because Exodus chapter 33, verse 10 says our sins weigh us down and push us down. And the pressure from those sins is so great, we could catastrophically implode because of them. But the good news is, 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, down here to this earth. And Jesus Christ got down in the water with us. And Jesus reached out and took all of our sins off of His shoulders, our shoulders, and put them on His shoulders and dealt with all that punishment and all that pressure. 1 Peter 2:24, Christ bore our sin in His body and then took that sin all the way down to the bottom of the ocean and left it there. Cast our sin into the heart of the sea, never to be seen again. Micah chapter 7, verse 19. When I was sinking down. When I was sinking down, Christ laid aside His crown for my soul, salvation. 7 weeks ago, a British billionaire named Chris Brown had a ticket to be on that Titan submersible. But something told him it wasn't safe. So he gave that ticket to his best friend, a man named Hamid Harding, who did die on that Titan, the submersible. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. You're not saved. You're not a Christian. And something is telling you right now that the ride you're on is not safe because it's not going to save you. It's not going to get your sins forgiven. It's not going to take you to heaven. It's going to take you to hell. Chris Brown made a decision not to put himself in a situation where he couldn't be saved. And right now the Holy Spirit is telling you to put yourself in a situation where you can be saved. The only situation there is by trusting Jesus Christ, the only Savior there is. And even though Jesus died on that cross and rose from the dead for our salvation 2,000 years ago, He is just as strong to save today as He was back then. The second fact about Jesus that does not change. Jesus is the Savior. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third fact about Jesus that does not change. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Savior. And third, Jesus is our hope. And that's also what Paul is telling us here in verse 8. Thank God Jesus doesn't change, because you tell me, what else doesn't? Last November, Walmart moved all the grocery stuff around on their shelves, switched everything around. And today, 8 months later, I still can't find the taco powder or the gluten-free pretzels. Why can't they just leave it the same? Cracker Barrel's even gone stupid woke for LGBTQ. Why can't they just sell food? Lab-grown meat? Sure. Put it right over there by the Bud Light. Last March, Calvin Klein reformulated their Eternity cologne. So today, it smells like turpentine. So eternity isn't even eternal anymore. Isn't there anything we can still count on? Isn't there anything that still stays the same? Yeah, there is. There is something we can still count on. There is something that still stays the same. And that's Jesus Christ, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let me ask you this morning, what are you putting your hope in? You putting your hope in government? There's Joe Biden at the Air Force Academy last June the 1st, on the ground. And I fall down sometimes too. But what's the message that was sent to our enemies? America's fallen, and Joe Biden is the laughingstock of the world. Bragging about the economy when 2 out of 3 Americans are being subsidized now by the federal government and 6 out of 10 people in this country can't write a check for $400. Gay pride flags hanging from me. That Jesus isn't still doing all kinds of good things behind the scenes. Just 2 weeks ago, the United States Supreme Court ruled that Christian web designer Lynn's movie with Harrison Ford that's woke and that slams capitalism that cost him $300 million to make isn't even drawing flies. But you know what the number one movie in America is right now? Sound of Freedom. That's exposing child sex trafficking. The number one movie in America is about protecting children, not about grooming them and queering them. You don't think Jesus is still working behind the scenes? You don't think you can put your hope in Jesus Christ? Last March the 30th, 10 tornadoes ripped across central Indiana. And one of them, an F3 with winds over 140 miles an hour, was headed straight for a little town called Corydon, Indiana, where 6 members of the Lawrence family were in their living room, and they heard the siren. But that tornado came so fast, all of a sudden, before they could get out of the living room, that tornado just exploded that house. Everything went black, debris flying all over the place, and the only thing that they had time to do was cry. And people, listen to me. We better be putting our hope in Jesus Christ. Because in these last days, the world is getting ready for the coming of the Antichrist and the Great Tribulation. And the demons are coming out of the woodwork. Next slide. And even at KFC, KFC's been selling something called the Diablo chicken sandwich in connection with Diablo 4, one of the most demonic, darkest video games of all time. Diablo in Spanish means devil. And when was that video game released? June 6, 2023. 6-6-23. 6-6, 2 times 3 is 6, 666. And notice the design on the package, on the wrapper for the Diablo chicken sandwich, those three marks. That's the sixth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So again, 666. And the demon spirit things that have been perpetrated by transgenders lately. September 2018 at a warehouse in Aberdeen, Maryland. 4 killed and 8 wounded by a shooter who identified as trans. December 2019, a bar in Denver, Colorado. 1 killed, 8 wounded by a shooter who identified as trans. November 2022 at a nightclub in Colorado Springs. 5 killed. And last 3 years, we have watched artificial intelligence get more and more and more demonic because it's controlled by the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, and including the prophet Muhammad, as it could be considered disrespectful and offensive to many people. So it's okay to disrespect Jesus Christ. Folks, you don't think the spirit of Antichrist is all over artificial intelligence? Elon Musk said that using artificial intelligence is like releasing the demons. And in case you needed any more convincing, you needed any more proof? A couple years ago, an engineer named George Durandal put the King James Bible into a language processor and got artificial intelligence Jesus. AI Jesus, I kid you not. This is what AI Jesus looks like. Right now, a game site called Twitch is letting people all over the world ask AI Jesus all kinds of questions about everything from dating to making lasagna. And when AI Jesus was asked about the last days, the thing said this. Multitudes and multitudes of people will be killed in the fires of the evil one. That thing is prophesying that billions and billions of human beings are going to be killed by the devil. You don't think that thing is evil? And folks, look at that. Take a look at that. When you wrap your mind around that and what that is and what it really means, it's terrifying. Because now a demonic artificial intelligence has created a demonic artificial Jesus. Just exactly like the Bible says would happen in the last days. You say, well, Kevin, it doesn't look very evil to me. Yeah, not now. That's the come on. The Bible says that every single thing the devil does is a copy of something that God has already done. And the devil's goal has always been to take God's place. Lucifer got in trouble in heaven when he said, I will become God and I will take God's throne. And the devil's been trying to do it ever since. Jesus, like nobody's business. People are already listening to his advice on everything from morals to how to have a better life. NBC called AI Jesus strangely compelling. USA Today says AI Jesus is incredibly intriguing, and millions of people all over the world are already praying to it and worshiping it. So if people don't have any qualms about turning to artificial Christ, you think they're going to have any qualms about turning to Antichrist? No way, no how. And folks, if the devil can do all of this with artificial intelligence now, what is he going to be able to do with artificial intelligence in the last days? The Bible tells us. Revelation chapter 13, verse 15, there will be an image of the Antichrist set up in Jerusalem. And the devil will use artificial intelligence to make it move and speak. And notice verse 15. Who puts up that image? Who puts it together? Not the Antichrist. It's the people who worship him. So that image is already going to be there up and running before the Antichrist even comes along. And folks, you see the platform. You see the platform for it right there. Right there in front of your eyes. And the coming of the Antichrist will be in accordance with all kinds of lying signs and wonders. and all kinds of fake miracles. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And the devil will use artificial intelligence to create a one world religion so that everybody will worship him and unite around him. And anybody who refuses to worship the Antichrist will be killed. Number one enemy, when you're talking to AI Jesus, do you realize you're talking to the Antichrist and not Jesus Christ? For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. So when someone says, there is the Christ, or here he is, believe them not. For many will come in my name and deceive many with all kinds of lying signs and wonders to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. Do not be deceived. But here's the good news. If you're trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior, next slide, you're not even going to have to worry about that. Now, we're going to see the preparations for the Antichrist. We see the preparations right now because the dispensations overlap each other. The end of the church age where we're at right now and the start of the Great Tribulation. We're going to see all the preparations made for the Antichrist. But folks, Jesus Christ is going to rapture us out of here before the Antichrist shows up for real and even steps on stage. Hallelujah. People, we're going home on the morning train. And here's even more good news. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is our hope. But there's one more fact about Jesus that never changes, that the devil and the world have completely forgotten about. Jesus never loses. Ever. Ever. So after 7 years of the Antichrist reigning and ruling and raising all kinds of holy hell on earth, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, Jesus Christ is going to come down from heaven and destroy the Antichrist with the breath of His mouth and the splendor of His coming. Because Jesus never loses. And Jesus is God, and our God reigns. In Psalm 143, verse 15, His throne is an everlasting throne, and His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and His dominion is an everlasting dominion. Yesterday He died for me. Today He lives for me. Tomorrow He comes for me. So if you don't know Him, if you don't know Jesus, let me tell you about my Jesus.
Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all its stealing. And you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Good. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way when there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that He can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and His grace is free. And the good news is I know that He
Thank you for that. If you're here today and you don't know about this Jesus, you need to know Jesus as your Savior. You come up after the service, pray with somebody here, give your heart to Jesus Christ, and let him show you who He really is and how incredible He is, how incredible that salvation is. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation.